Hey guys, it's Malls. Thanks so much for listening to Please Advise. Just a quick message before the show. Don't forget to subscribe in iTunes. It's super helpful for us and super helpful for you. You can also call 323-450-7408 to get your calls on the show. Again, 323-450-7408. Or email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com with your voice notes or emails. Thanks so much. Hey guys, it's Malls. It's episode 120 of Please Advise. My dear friend Max Wyeth is back. How are you?
Oh my God, I'm staring at you and Christina right now, and I've never been so happy to see
that voice is just so smooth like honey. Like I can only imagine people out there in America are just hearing that wash over
and
them.
And then they see the face and they're like, damn it.
What do you mean?
Wait, did I ever tell you in college once? So sometimes I get accused of having, I'm a pasty white slob, and I get accused of having like a very sexy black guy voice.
Okay.
So I've had, once in college, I was talking to this gal, like at the student union, or yeah. I had to pick up books, or I had an overdue parking ticket or something. And I was still gay at the time. I'm still gay now. I was practicing gay at that time, but you know, I always got a kick out of it. Any kind of attention.
Yeah.
So she was very flirty on the phone. And I was like, oh, Cheryl. And it wasn't even Cheryl. I don't know. But anyway, so we're like flirting on the phone and she goes, well, are you coming in the office? And I go, yeah, I've got to pay this parking ticket or buy this book, Cheryl. So of course I'm going to come in. And she's like, well, maybe we'll meet. And I go, maybe we will. And so I go up and, you know, she's wearing a name tag. And this is like a day later or 2 days later. And I pick up whatever I'm there to pick up. And I kind of look at her and she goes, you know, we're talking and she kind of recognizes the voice, but she's looking at my face like, wait, that's not him. This is a ventriloquist act.
Yeah.
Like there's a puppet. It's not real. I don't know what's happening. But so anyway,
I need the stats on Cheryl.
So now let me just say this. I am fine with my looks, but you know, those people who have heightened versions of what they in their heads look like.
Of course. Cheryl
was one of those gals.
Oh, like,
so Cheryl, just, yeah. Like, sure. I'm not going to go into specifics because we're all about empowerment here at Please Advise.
Yeah, sure. Sure we are.
Yeah, of course. But so anyway, at the end of it, she goes, Max? And I go, yeah, Cheryl? And she's, and Cheryl's like, And I go, oh, what? And she goes, I don't know. I thought when I heard your voice, I thought tall, dark, and handsome. And then I see you and, you know, literally, like, it might not even been a, you know,
was
as much
Cheryl
as
Cheryl like another student, or was she like a
student? No, she was like a student.
Woman.
Her name wasn't Cheryl. In my head, she's 45, but she was probably like
right.
20.
Okay.
But you know what I mean? Like, it might not even been a, oh, it was definitely, but like a, you know, like,
yeah,
a, you like, know, but you're like,
yeah, like, no, that's not Cheryl. Nice.
I didn't want to stick my dick
Cheryl.
In you anyway. Probably maybe your dad or your brother, but
I
not
do
you,
hate
Cheryl.
That ego of like when someone's like, this isn't going anywhere. It's like, great, because I literally fucking would never.
Who asked you?
Yeah, like literally who fucking asked you?
Wait, can we talk about, we'll have to, since the last time when we spent Valentine's together in New Orleans.
Yes.
And your Valentine's Day date, didn't he have a glass eye? And he tried to act like he was too cool for school. And you're like, honey.
Oh, wait a minute.
Was it a glass eye or a
lazy
eye?
Oh, shit.
Or did he have
an eye patch? I think you're right. No, he didn't have an eye patch. He was cute. But like I think he had a glass eye.
He had a glass eye.
I think he had, oh my God. So that adds, I've gone out with like several handicapped people this year.
Because you care. Because you care.
Because I'm so nice. No, but it's like always just like going places and then showing up. And then I told you I went out with a guy who was like, I have a colostomy bag, right?
No.
Yeah. Like after our date, like he texted me that like I had a colostomy.
Is it, do they put it to their body? And forgive my ignorance, but like, is it under your clothes? Do you not even see it?
You don't see it.
Oh,
no. And like, that was the thing too, is that I kind of was like, dude, you didn't need to like,
tell me.
I said to him, you know, like he said, cause he texted me the day after and we had made out. And like, this was a date where it's like, I kind of already knew in advance. He was little bit too old for me.
Yeah.
How old? He was about 43, which is interesting. Cause the guy I went out with last night was also 43. And like the problem with the guy last night is he was very cute, but
yeah.
He was a Postmates driver, which is fine.
Sure.
But I was like, what's the bigger goal? And like, there really wasn't one. There was not one.
Well, that's how I always say it's like, it doesn't mean, I mean, I feel like any kind of incentive to grow whatever your passion is.
Yeah.
That's all it needs. It's like, be the best damn whatever. Just want to be something more than just like, oh, I got to, you know, I have a delivery.
I actually got into a fight with a guy about that the other day. He was a Bernie bro. And saying that like, you know, not everyone should want to like be a monetarily successful person. And I said, no, but I said, there's a difference between not craving like large amounts of money in your life. And I said, there, to me, I said, there's a correlation between the type of people who strive to earn high and who strive to make a difference and the people who are complacent. I said, contentment and complacency are two different things to me.
Oh, definitely.
I said, you can be like, I'm going to be a Postmates driver and I'm going to be the fucking best post, or I'm going to be a building manager. And like, if your toilet is clogged at 4 a.m., I'm going to get up and unclog that shit. Like, that is the type of person where I'm like, good for you. Like, you're fine in this job because you're making the best of it that you can. But when I, like, and then I started to really ask him, not the guy I was fighting with on the date about that, because that guy had another weird tell that I was like, oh, you're a sociopath.
Wait, the guy from last night or the guy from Valentine's Day?
No, but this is a different guy that I got into a fight with about.
With the colostomy bag?
No, different guy. This is a guy that I went out with on, I went out with a guy like, a couple days before New Year's Eve.
Oh, good.
And that was, and that guy's whole thing was that he was the Bernie bro that was like, you shouldn't have to want to try hard. Okay. What? Like try, like the desire to try hard and to earn great money and to do well in your life is like overrated, and it's not. And I just was like, no, it's not. I was like, you're never gonna, I said, it, maybe it's a personality thing. I was like, but I like to hang out with winners. I like to surround myself with winners.
Winners is different things. It doesn't have to mean you're a billionaire. A winner can be someone who, I, to me, a winner is someone who truly makes difference. And if it's one person's life or it's a million people's lives.
Absolutely.
I think that's as, it can be as big or as small as that.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, that's why I was kind of saying to him, I'm like, I have nothing wrong with like the customer service person who's the best fucking customer service person.
I'm thankful for that.
I said, you should want to be the best customer service person. It's not normal to go to work every day and pick up a check. And I said, because the guys who go to work every day and pick up a check, they're not winners at home either.
No.
Because that's a, you are living in a complacent, like you're just like, okay, like complacency, like is your default. Like you're like, I don't need to, I can just go into work and pick up a check.
Yeah.
I can just go home and be a dad. Like, no, the guys who try really hard at work and who are like trying to make a difference in the world and try and be like a great citizen, those are the guys who also go home and are fucking awesome husbands. Yeah. They're awesome dads. They're just, they're winners in life.
No.
And I said, true. I shouldn't want to be punished because I want to hang out with winners in life. Nor does that mean like I'm a superficial or shallow person. I just like to hang out with winners.
What did this guy do for a living? Just out of curiosity.
Oddly enough, he had a competitive job. Like, I can't say what it is because it would become like, that's just too many details. But like he had a very competitive job in entertainment, desirable job. And I almost was,
but
like,
he doesn't think you should have to strive to be successful.
No. And the thing that bothered me about that is I was like, do you understand that like you're in a very difficult profession to be employed in? Like, there are lots of people who would love to have your job who have a fucking winner's attitude.
Yeah.
And like, also realize that you're have an elite position in an elite industry. And like, that has value to it. And you did not earn that by being not a winner.
No, like, that's true.
Like, setting other people up by saying like, it's okay to be average. Like,
or even not even that, but below average.
Yeah.
It's okay to just.
Yeah. Just, it's okay to skim by on life. And I'm thinking to myself, like, well, that's not your philosophy for yourself. No. So then he says to me, and then the other thing that he said that was kind of like a tell that like, I was like, oh, you're going to be a cheater or something. Was he said to me, I have this thing where it's like when I see someone fuck up or do something bad, I always assume it was for the worst possible reason. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I don't know. Like, if I see someone like go to throw a napkin away in the trash and like it doesn't get into the trash can, it falls on the floor and they don't pick it up. He's like, I assume that they did that as a fuck you to the waiter or whatever.
Whoa.
And I was like, that is like,
how old is this? I mean, you don't have to give it. Can you give an age range of how old this guy was?
He's about my age. He's like,
okay.
33.
So he's like 33.
Yeah. And so that's,
first of all, he's just, I mean, exhausting. But for the moral of this whole story, what I love is, I love that you're also not afraid to take a, you like a holiday date or like, holiday,
oh, yeah.
Which I love, which so many people are like, can't have a date on like anywhere near this date. And Molly, you're just so, you're like, fuck it. I will have a date 2 days before New Year's. I don't care.
I don't care.
That bravery is so cool.
I don't have to marry this loser because we're on a date. But so then I asked the Postmates guy last night. I'm like, you know, have you thought about like doing like Uber Eats or DoorDash? And yeah. I was like, by the way, what's the breakdown on Postmates? Like, what are you making money for? Do you make money just in tips or do you get an hourly fee plus whatever? Like, what percentage of the delivery fee do you get? He's like, I think he basically said to me that they get like half of the delivery fee and tips. So I'm like, So all of those $2.99 deliveries that you're doing, like you literally spend an hour of your life making $2.99. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
And then that puts so much onus on the customer to like do this like amazing job tipping.
And also, like, where's this guy from? Just out of curiosity, do you know?
Like the middle of the country or something.
Midwest. Okay.
Maybe he was from New York or something. No, he's from New York. He has a New York number.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm always fit, and especially with different age ranges. Well, first of all, let's discuss how men, gay or straight, from about 10 to the day they die, have no sense.
Like,
no common sense.
Oh, no sense.
No mental sense.
Yeah.
No, they only think with their dick and their stomach and the little bit of info they now get from President-elect Trump.
Yeah.
Via his Twitter account.
Yeah.
That's basically where we're at.
Oh.
Can I also just say one thing about the shining moment of President-elect Donald Trump's Twitter account is his love of the exclamation point.
Oh, I yeah. Love,
sad. They're liars and frauds and charlatans. Sad. They will all, wait, did you? The
I
Arnold,
love sad,
are
though.
You, I use sad all the time.
Sad.
Because you can just hear his voice. He's just like, sad. And you know he puts his finger. Sad.
It's so Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank. Wait,
can we discuss? I know, again, this is all we were talking about before. So my hashtag this year is because end times.
Yeah.
Because we're literally like the dark days are here.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
And I just love that we're what every day is a if it's not the Apprentice ratings and how his dick's bigger than Arnold Schwarzenegger's and his ratings were 30 times better. It's basically it's then I don't trust that CIA. What these intelligent briefings.
Yeah.
It's just delightful. And we get what we deserve.
Really scary.
Yeah.
Really scary.
It's frightening because now people are calling like CNN articles fake news. And like, no, that's not what fake news is.
Honey, and not only that, there's a large portion of the country that's like, oh, that came from CNN or MSNBC. Liars.
I know.
Charlatans. Sad.
And like, I've been wondering why this year I've been hearing so much shit on MSNBC and CNN. And I realize now it's not from my people. It's from all the other people that are insane and don't realize that like news outlets there's like a code of ethics that they're supposed to adhere to. Is that incorrect?
I mean, suppose.
Well, yes, but I will say that like, I don't consider... This is like a weird way for me to set this up, but TV news isn't journalism per se. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
That's the driving factor of it all.
Okay. I think we need to blame Ted Turner at the end of the day because he really forced this all down our throats with that 24-hour news cycle.
It's true. Yeah. And that's why when breaking news happens, like shootings and like riots and stuff like that, there's so much misinformation that goes out because they want to be first.
Yeah.
They don't want to be right.
Right.
That's not the priority that's coming
but
up.
Wouldn't you also say people
developing? Yeah. Is.
And wouldn't you say
sources that, say? And yeah. It's just like, yeah. We'll cite them.
Yeah.
Don't you think, though, too, that as much as we think this is a newfound kind of thing, newspapers used to do the same thing.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
they have
yellow
five
journalism.
Or six editions
different,
a day.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's not necessarily a newfound thing what they're doing. It's just how we consume. It's very different to read something and then see someone shot and then be said, this is what happened. Or, you know, they were doing this. And then you're like, oh, and then you find out 2 weeks later, oh, no, that's not the case.
Imagine being the editor of a paper and like having two papers ready to go for the next day. Oh. Like the Donald Trump is our president version and the Hillary Clinton is our president version. And like you have so much more faith in one than the other, like in terms of just like the actual content behind it.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine like how much good shit was thrown out the day that Hillary was not our president, like all of the wonderful articles that were written about
the
like our first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and none of that shit will ever see the
it won't,
light
but
of day.
You know, the one thing I'll say with that is too, is what the biggest, I mean, I have so many issues with the media, but the biggest one is at the end of the day, they gave for 2 years, an insane person, a platform to allow other people to voice their, you know, insane ideas. And they what I think so funny about especially the liberal media is they're like, how do they even think that Donald Trump and these ideas, like how do they even think of that? And it's like, I don't know, because for 2 years, so you could sell advertising revenue.
Yeah.
You've allowed this man to spew his feelings. And then people thought, oh, well, if he feels that way, I can feel that way.
Yeah.
So then they're like, I don't know where they came from. It's like, oh, honey, but 2 years you've been building this audience for this guy.
Yeah.
So it's just very... you know.
Well, yeah, because like it was like it was like look what this clown thinks he's doing.
Yeah,
like look what this guy thinks he's doing. What an asshole! I mean, yeah. it's just so embarrassing. Like that's like my number one emotion besides just like sadness is embarrassment.
Well, I'll tell you what else is embarrassing. This is the biggest issue I have. Is I love this country. I'm so thankful to be living in America, but spending 2 weeks abroad in London, what I have such issues with so many Americans is we don't realize not only how much our local and, you know, nationwide elections matter to us, but how much, like it or not, our elections affect the world.
Absolutely.
And we don't get that. Like in our heads, we're like, oh, it's just the president election happens once every 4 years. Blah, 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 blah. Who cares?
Who was I just talking to said that they were abroad when the results came in and all of these, they were like in Australia or something. And she said that when the results came in, they were just like, and all of these people at the airport or the hotel or whatever, we knew they were American, were like, we're so sorry.
Yeah.
Like, we're so sorry. Like, they were, like, literally, like, about to have to come back here, too, like, right after the
election. I mean, I went on an apology tour for 2 weeks in London because, you know, no matter what you... it's just that idea that there's enough people, and also explaining to anyone foreign, just because our country is so big, that 50 million people who could have voted didn't.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the hardest things for me to explain is because, I mean, we live in a place where, you know, and yeah, I know, you know, it's gotten better and better every election to ensure that people's rights are allowed. It's like you have to be allowed to take time off to go and vote. You know, and there's a lot of people.
But that's
still
not
don't
even the reason yeah, why. A lot of people decided, like, as an act of defiance, they were not going to vote this year. And, like, really, like, with passion in their voice. I mean, I heard, I think Stassi from Vanderpump Rules said it on her podcast. She's like, I'm not voting this year. And everyone was like, that is like so irresponsible. I think she said it on someone else's podcast. And it was just like, that's so irresponsible. And just like, but hearing her point of view, she really, really believed that there was no lesser of two evils in that scenario.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, the biggest issue I have also with Trump and Clinton was, I'm not going to sit here and say Hillary Clinton was the perfect choice by any means, or that she's a flawless character, or that, but what I'm going to say is the idea that her sins that she had to pay double, if not triple,
yeah,
to any other man.
Yeah.
That's what I don't get. It's like still in this day, 2016, now 2017, the idea that her sins were so wicked because as a woman, she should almost know better. That it's like, it's
well, character
disgusting.
Questions are like common in every election. I just think it's like almost like there was so much more questioning of her character than his character, and so much more questioning of her character than any previous election. I mean, obviously Barack Obama went up against a lot and continued to throughout his entire presidency. But like, I mean, every presidential candidate has a wake of shit behind them because they're at least 35 years old. Most of the time they're in their 50s. And like they have a lifetime of shit behind them that can be used against them. And whether it be personal or political or whatever, things within their marriage, within their family, like.
Well, and that's such a good point because we've got to stop holding our elected officials to different standards that we're going to hold ourselves.
I don't think that anyone has faced such personal persecution since Sarah Palin, which actually makes me feel, as much as I hate Sarah Palin, like her beliefs. I don't hate her. I hate her beliefs. I don't like hate anyone, but I definitely feel like we owe her an apology for how closely some of the things she did were looked at.
Oh, I would say 120, because the idea that calling her out, oh, she shouldn't spend this money on that, or she looks like this, or she's that, that's not the issue.
Yeah,
that's
not the issue.
That you need to stop calling that, or, you know, she support how she, her kid, her daughter, Brist, that's her child, all this nonsense.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
It's not
yeah.
even a thing. It's like she wasn't, you know, credible or capable to run the country.
Yeah.
Take out. It doesn't need to be her looks or her lipstick or her hair.
Absolutely.
Or she's a dumb fuck from Alaska. All this nonsense that they were spewing. It's literally, she just does not seem to have the capability to run the country. That's as simple as that.
That's the thing. It comes down to very childish, like, name calling always. Like, even with Donald Trump, like, a lot of the people on the left, the best they were doing was being like, he's a big orange liar.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you know what? That's true. But also, like, he's racist. Like, also, he's making himself like a ragtag team of homophobes and fucking people who hate women.
Well, like, the thing about him is, like, it's not, I mean, as scary as he is, he's not scary in that he clearly is at heart just a self-promoter.
Yeah.
It's the idea that the people he surrounds himself with,
he's forming like a demented Ocean's 11.
President Bush's, you know, cabinet look like, my God, I don't know, like a
Our glory days.
Yeah, no, literally, like, where are they? Call yeah. Dick Cheney. Get him back
let's
in get here.
What's Dick Cheney up to? Come, I didn't honey, mind come. Him. It was fine.
He had the lesbian daughter he liked.
Yes, he liked his lesbian. That's, you know, her. He liked his nice lesbian daughter. Let's just get him back here.
He was like, she can stay. She doesn't need to go to the conversion camp. Which, I mean, here's my thing with conversion camps. If I really just have to pretend to be married to a woman and suck dick on the side, I'm not afraid to, because I actually get along with a lot more women than I do with gay men. So yeah. It's like, if I have to go Dennis Quaid, Julianne Moore, Far Away Heaven, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not. Remember when Dennis Quaid's picking up like the pool boys in Miami?
No, I don't. But I no, but I just laugh because only you think that's like the exact appropriate reference.
You want a companionate marriage.
Yeah, honey, you have lot of really good ones.
I'm telling you, I would love, I will be that fruitcake that everyone's like, oh, there he is.
Yeah.
You know.
Max, do you want to go half in on a child in 10 years if I don't have anyone in my life?
So I actually, here's my thing with kids. I have never wanted to procreate. I want to be an adoptive parent, and if not that, a foster parent.
Yeah,
I've never
had that desire.
I've never had any desire to... My mother's adopted, and I am, you know, Betty, who's in all my, like, Betty Jean's the love of my life, and mm-hmm. I am such a supporter of adoption, mm-hmm. and, you know, if I don't think I'd adopt a child by myself. I would foster parent, or I'd like to.
Yeah.
I'd want a partner, probably. If I was going to raise a child from...
I would need to be in a great financial situation.
Yeah, if I'm going to raise a child from such to such, but I think of all the, you know... What is it in adoption? After you're like 6 months old, they're like, oh, get this baby. Who wants that baby's damaged.
Yeah.
That we can possibly raise this 2-year-old. It's been through too much already. You know,
I wish people were as self-righteous about adopting kids as they are about adopting dogs.
That is a profound statement.
That's true.
Can we also, we're in a no judgment
That's
zone.
So
we don't, we don't judge here, but I really have issue with designer babies.
What does that mean?
You know where like Neil Patrick Harris and his husband went and they like picked perfect. It's like perfect everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I get it. You're right to your own money. And I'm sure How You Met Your Mother was a lovely show. But no.
It's just there's too. Yeah, you're right. I agree with you. Like, I do think at a certain point, like I have so many friends and that I love that have gone through the IVF process and it's worked eventually or whatever. But I'm like, yo, like $100,000 in. And like you are putting yourself through so much stress and so much pain and like just again, like draining your bank account. And like I understand the desire to want to procreate with your spouse. I understand
because that's that's a level of intimacy. And I totally get that.
But like at a certain point, it's like.
And also, but you know, also a lot of people's through adoptions become, and it should be difficult, but it should also be enough to where there's so many restrictions on who can adopt and
you
have to be this. And I mean, I struggle with that idea of, you should be in a financial situation of, but the minute we really start saying it's like, you need to have this much money to properly raise a child.
Yeah.
Talk about, you know, they never want to, what is it? Like the death panels, remember how the death panels of Obamacare.
Yeah.
It's like, well, the minute you really start deciding, okay, you can have a child, but you can't.
Yeah.
You can do this and you can't.
I mean, when I was growing up, I don't think I thought there was anything much harder than adopting a child. Like, yeah, I remember thinking of that as like one of the hardest things a person can do.
I think it is.
Yeah. Like, it's really hard to get. I mean, which makes sense. They should not be handing out these kids willy nilly. But at the same time, like, is a child living in foster care or is a child living in like a group home or whatever? Are they having a significantly better life than a family that makes a modest like
income?
$60K a year or whatever? Like, not you could absolutely, in most parts of our country, you could absolutely run a home and have a child on an income like that.
I love that we veered. You remember the last time we were talking, it was like the last episode we did together, it was very like pop culture and fucking there. And now we're getting deep.
This
tonight,
is where
honey.
We are in our country.
I love that, but I think that's good.
Yeah, no, it's true.
I was going to talk about, you know what we should all really be afraid of is that robot revolution.
What's going to happen?
When the AI comes.
Oh, yeah.
I've got to
say, actually been terrified of that for years.
You and my mother have to talk. You love the purse bets together.
Yeah.
And then B, my mother has literally told me several times this year, she goes, listen, I will not become a maid to a robot. And I'm like, listen, mother, you're too old. I'm too fat. We're the first to go to the robot. They're going to throw us to the lions.
Yeah, no.
Like, they don't want us as maids or sex toys.
Worry about that, though. Like, when you think about how everything in our life is, like, my Mini Cooper, like, if I wouldn't be able to get in it. Like, if the robots decided they were mad at me, they could easily keep me in or out of it. It doesn't even have a real key. I just put a silver disc into a small hole in my car. Like, that doesn't even sound real.
Can we talk about sex robots for a minute?
Sure.
Because I think a lot of people get a lot of flack for it, where I'm like, I'm not much for sex robots, but I mean, I masturbate, so I'm like, who am I to judge if I'm like happy to get off with myself and the fantasies inside my head?
I actually think that's great. Like, I would absolutely get a sex robot if I wasn't worried about it, like, eating my private parts by accident. Like, that's my big fear, is that I'm worried that you wouldn't be able to get it to stop. Like, what if you, like, put your dick inside of a sex robot and it just kept, like eating, sucking?
Sucked it right off.
And you would have to, like, first of all, if you were lucky enough to get to a hospital, like,
honey, these days,
if you were lucky enough,
that's not, once Obamacare is repealed, honey.
So many people in the emergency room just showing up to urgent care with a sex robot actively eating its dick,
or it's like, we are being eaten. Maybe that should be the sequel to poor Will Smith and his bed. Did you see Collateral Beauty? He has got to. honey.
Who saw it?
I went to a British premiere.
I went to a midnight screening.
First of all, I will support Helen Mirren. And if anyone has the sense God gave a goat, they will follow Helen Mirren on Instagram right now.
The sense that God gave a goat.
Sense, which is barely any. I'm telling you,
what is that?
that's a Betty Jean Stover phrase. Betty Jean will just go, you know, if he just had the sense God gave a goat, and I'm like, now we're cooking in some grease.
Yeah,
and it's like Betty.
I feel like it's a line Sybil Shepherd should have had in the client list.
Can we wait? She hasn't had anything nice since The Client List.
No, she hasn't had anything
and
nice.
And even then, that was kind of a stretch.
I mean, it wasn't nice. She played Sybil, you kind of like to see play the, like, kind of arch evil person.
Because
like,
she's good at that, because that's her.
She's great. But, like, she just was, like, the meanest Southern mom. Have you seen it?
I saw the TV movie, not the TV series, because it was a TV movie.
Yeah.
And then they revamped it, didn't they?
And then they revamped
it. And Loretta Devine's in the TV series, who I support everything she does.
As well as Laura Lee from season one of Vanderpump Rules.
I'm sorry. Emmy winner Loretta Devine. I think we need
Grey's
Anatomy. I just want to make sure we have her full title.
Did we meet her together?
We might have.
Did we meet her at the Golden Globes?
Oh, God. My favorite Golden Globes memory was when we're talking to Bryce Dallas Howard, and then her husband comes up, and I just go, Bryce Dallas Howard, if you weren't here, I would fuck your husband. And she's like,
she was charmed by you.
She really, I know, Bryce.
That was the year she bought her own dress off the rack, remember?
Yes,
and everyone acted like
she looks like she's fun.
She was so fun, and her husband was really, really cute. And then remember, I accidentally told Maria Menounos I once got a handjob during Channel One.
Yeah, and by the way, like, I just remember Maria Menounos, like, first of all, like, when you see a Menudos in the wild, you're not necessarily, is it the Maria Menudos? Like,
there could
you don't
be any
know.
Number of.
And then, like, we were talking to her for like a solid 5 minutes before I was like, fucking Maria Menudos. Like, what is going on? Like, because she's so elusive. Do you know what I mean? Like,
you would never see her.
One would think that you're tripping over Maria Menudos in
that
LA.
Grecian
she had
a,
the
braid.
Grecian braid, yeah. Oh no, we'll never forget the Grecian braid.
Can we go back? I love that night because we drank the drinking that
Well, you showed me what you can do, which really scared me because, like, when someone can outdrink me, I'm terrified. And, like, you literally, there was one point where I had three drinks in my hand because in the time that it took me to drink half of one drink, you had gone back to the bar two other times. And I was sitting there holding three drinks like a psycho because for some reason I was like, oh, I have to get a drink too. So I'm like hoarding drinks in the corner.
That white dress you wore last year was so sexy.
Honey, it's heaven. I have it in my closet. I almost sold it this year.
It was so sexy. And
that was my birthday.
Yeah. Remember so Gabourey Sidibe and I, and you had that wonderful powwow for a good 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah. That was just the best. All right. Really, we have to go to our calls.
Oh, yeah.
You
and calls. We'll sit
here and mention actresses that rarely work for several hours.
Such name droppers.
That's like, you know what I mean?
I know. And we're like barely working, which is the best
Maria
part.
Maria Menounos. Oh, no. I mean, when you have that kind of star power, how are you supposed to work all the time?
Honey, you can only.
Maria Menounos works a lot.
Honey, the Snapchat TV shows that Snapchat's trying to sell us don't sell themselves, honey.
They don't sell themselves.
They don't.
You guys, if you work at Snapchat and you want to buy our TV shows, you can contact us. Okay, let's take our calls.
Hey, Mom, it's Caitlin. I'm 26 from Ohio. I remember this morning that you used to be obsessed with modesty fashion blogging for, like, Mormons. And I read an article that I thought you would think is funny. I don't know if you've heard of it or not, but it's called bubble porn. It's, like, a new thing that Mormons are doing on the Internet, I guess. So I guess they're not supposed to, like, masturbate to fully nude pictures or something, which, I don't know, that's crazy considering the Jodi Arias thing. But anyway, I guess, like, they pretty much take, like, pictures of girls in their swimsuits or whatever, and then they crop out certain parts that they leave, like, the skin parts exposed. So, like, their stomach will still be there, and, like, their legs will still be there, and their heads will still be there. And it looks like they're naked because, like, you can see through bubbles. I don't know. It's really weird. You need to look it up, but, like, it's a weird new thing that Mormons are doing, and I thought you would think it's funny. Okay, bye.
Well, Max's reaction when I looked this up and showed this to him, what did you say?
I said,
that's quite clever.
It was quite clever.
You know, okay, so first of all, I'm looking at these images, and we will post a bubble porn picture to our Instagram.
No, what if we make your Instagram picture for the episode like a bubble porn?
Oh, a bubble porn. Yeah.
Oh, that would be kind of fun. If you know how to do, don't promise this audience things you cannot give them. But okay, so there's like mostly.
I can do it.
It's highly Asian. But, like, it's a lot of, like, Asian girls.
Because the Mormons don't get, you know, they are very white bread in Utah.
But then there's this one, which is just, like, looks like these girls would, like, fucking rob your grandmother for Percocet. Like, these ones just, these are some, like.
Oh, these are, like, college girls.
Horny blonde girls. Yeah,
on, like, a boat. It's not Fleet Week. What do the kids do?
Spring break.
That's what I do now. I'm, like, always trying to fuck a sailor. No, spring break.
Me in my early 20s.
Which also, I was never a spring break. I never really had a body for spring break, so I was clearly never
I didn't
into
have
it.
The wallet for spring break. Like, that was something that, like, only kids who were very rich did at college.
And you had, like, to have, I like, remember, you had to have, it would, talk about body shaming. It's like, you need to have, like, you're not going to take your titties out, male or female,
well,
on that beach.
Well, here's the thing. Like, a TV spring break is so different than the reality of spring break.
It's so gross.
Because, like, TV spring break is, like, is, like, you know, all, like, hot young, hard college bodies. And, like, it's very, like, high intensity. Like, you better bring your smallest bikini and your hardest fucking abs,
yeah,
girl.
Or buy, or
get the fuck out. But in reality, I have an idea that spring break must be, there must be a lot more cellulite at spring break than we can even imagine. More cellulite than you and I can imagine at spring break.
I feel
like, you know, if there's someone out there who's thinking right now, like, am I too big for spring break?
You're not. Go.
You're probably not.
No.
Don't hurt yourself.
Remember, what was that?
don't
hurt yourself. What was that movie? Oh, what was the one Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill did where they go to a 21 or 22 Jump Street?
Oh, is that what that was? Yes. I didn't see that
I definitely watched on an airplane for free.
Oh, I love that.
Every minute.
I, like, love an airplane ride, like, from, like, a cross country where I can watch three movies.
Wait, have you watched, this is the perfect airline movie, Mother's Day, starring Julia Roberts and the wig from Notting Hill?
No, I haven't seen that, but I want to because fucking one of the Pretty Little Liars is in it. My least
least favorite?
I hate her.
Really?
I mean, she's beautiful, but, like, I'm not talking about her as a person, but her character should be the most interesting and is by far the least interesting.
You know who's the sweetest in real life? I don't know, on the show, is that Lucy Hale? It's about the
nicest. I can only imagine.
Wait, did you see her have to host? Wait, she was in New Orleans hosting the New Year's Eve Rock and Drop the Ball for Ryan Seacrest.
No, I didn't.
And they
see
just
that.
Cut her adrift alone. And, like, it's just poor Lucy Hale in New Orleans.
Is the theme now that, like, they're in, like, people, like, yeah, we're going to send Lucy Hale to New Orleans, and we're going to cut to New Orleans at midnight, and then we're going to cut to, like...
Yeah, like, Cincinnati.
CeeLo in St. Louis or whatever.
No, literally, that's what's happening now. Wait, did you watch the Queen Latifah? The Fox one was all throwback this year.
I didn't watch anything.
Honey, it was Nelly.
Oh, okay.
Which, literally a week before, I even didn't even know he was on this, I said, I pray for Nelly.
This
I didn't
is
know
when
where
people are getting smart now, because Fox is smart, because that is so much more interesting to your average drunk person sitting at home, like,
on a couch,
watching
then,
like, Nelly, than, like, being like, oh, okay, I'd like to watch, like, Shawn Mendes or whatever stumble through a couple songs.
That,
like, you know
that
what
Canadian
I mean?
Vibe
they
star.
Always get, like, some, like, I remember, like, oh, the Jacob Sartorius. Jacob Sartorius is doing live musical.ly's on the side of the stage.
with Will I Am. Like, oh my God, by the way, I was waking up this morning. What's the guy, Apple T app or whatever in fucking Black Eyed Peas? So like I fell asleep with my fucking TV on and it went directly to the on-demand menu.
Of course
it did. Like I'm just sleeping through the cycling on-demand menu all night. I don't know if anyone's ever done that. I feel like that's a very common sensation, is like passing out and then the on-demand menu is on and like all night long you're just listening to the same like 3 solid minutes of entertainment previews, whatever, and one is just like going, "Hi, I'm Apple T app," like that was going on all night when I was sleeping last night for like 9 hours. I was just hearing like, "Hi, I'm Apple T app with the Black Eyed Peas," like once every 3 minutes.
Do you know how much
you
probably got paid for that? Isn't it sick to think how much that was? It was probably $1 million to record
like,
that.
Once every 3 minutes for 8 hours last night, I heard someone go, "Hi, I'm Apple T app with the Black Eyed Peas."
Honey, you're keeping him alive.
I made his financial quarter, I'm sure.
I really did.
If he's getting paid per view, like, honey, I really, welcome, Apple.
We need to get to, was it Christina's call? What? No, yeah. It was Caitlin's call. But one last thing, and then we've got to get to Caitlin. Star on Fox. Have you watched the previews?
Oh, my God.
No. I did see the preview. It's like it's trying to make the girl band.
Yes,
yeah.
But
okay.
It's one white girl, one half white, half black girl, and one just total rich black girl.
Okay.
And Naomi Campbell is a lead.
Okay. But I heard people say it's like awful. Like, is it Lee Daniels trying to do like a pop star version of Empire?
Yeah, but can I ask you? I'd still sleep with Benjamin, not Button, Brat.
I haven't seen him in a really long time. Remember when he and Julia Roberts were like the hot it couple?
And also,
that's why you can't love anyone, because like then you love someone once, and then for the rest of your life, people will be like, "Remember when she was in love with someone who was like..."
I love when Julia Roberts was first married to Lyle Lovett, and then do you remember when she dated Dylan McDermott, who to this day is one of the only men who's ever put his hand on my shoulder where I was like, "I will get on my knees and suck you off right here, Dylan McDermott."
That was the only one, Max?
No. I'm saying like, it's not in public. I'm saying like in public, I was like, "I don't care who's in this trailer. Yeah. I don't care who's outside of it."
No, Benjamin Bratt still has it going on. He's
sexy,
still got
right?
it going on.
Do you remember him in Miss Congeniality?
You know what? Not really.
Can I just tell you, I spent for myself on Christmas $7.99 to buy Miss Congeniality and Miss Congeniality 2 on iTunes.
Was it in a 2-pack?
Of course.
I love a 2-pack.
And I love that Sandra Bullock, as great as, you know, her Oscar for Blindside. That
Why did you put that Oscar in quotes?
Did it really happen?
Did it really happen?
I don't
that
think it
Oscar,
Oscar.
That alleged Oscar that Academy Award.
Wait, and one last thing, then we'll get to Caitlin, but Ocean's Ocho. Already the best movie of 2018.
What the fuck is Ocean's Ocho?
It's the remake of Ocean's 11 starring all female cast, Cate Blanchett.
Okay.
And Anne Hathaway, who hate each other.
Okay.
Clearly.
Oh, wait. I didn't know that was called Ocho.
Ocean's Ocho, Ocean's 8.
Rihanna?
I know this. I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought you were saying that like they were making a Latin America version. And I was like, "What?" I'm like, why is this the most important thing of the year? Like, wait, what? Don't they do that all the time? Like, are you that big of an Ocean's 11 fan that you're like literally waiting for the international? My favorite movie, Ocean's 11, is finally being made in Latin America. What is like Latin America? Like, why am I just referring to it as Latin America?
It's being remade as a Danish film, and I cannot wait.
It's like the girl with the dragon tattoo. Like, you love the original.
You know who I do, but you know who I just don't get is that Rooney Mara. I'm whispering because she's listening.
Yeah. You know what? I actually don't hate on Rooney Mara. I think I actually was very defensive of when everyone was like being like, 6 months ago, she wasn't goth. I'm like, now she's fucking goth. I'm like, you know what? People discover things about themselves.
All the time.
And like, you are not allowed to say, Rooney Mara, you're not goth.
No.
Like, if she's goth inside,
let her have it.
Who am I to judge?
But very few children of billionaires are goth. I'm just going to say that.
That is true. That's... It's like, what are you so angry about?
Like, but really, what's your problem? Anyway, back to...
I mean, here's the thing.
The Mormon porn.
Here's
Caitlin.
The thing with Caitlin is that I don't think that we really... You keep saying we're going to answer her question. I don't think Caitlin was really doing a question. She was more like just doing a drive-by.
She was like,
of
balls,
info.
I think you'd enjoy this.
She's She's like, just going to toss this in your lap. And by the way, I will say, Caitlin, one thing that we can enjoy that's exclusively to you is that while you were leaving this, or while we were listening to your message, Max was leafing through a book of penises, like just literally leafing through it. Like he was waiting in line to buy his groceries and it was a People magazine. Yeah. Like he just was like staring
and
at
it. And it's like Martha Stewart on the cover, like, I will love again. No, it's just a big dick man.
It's called The Little Book of Big Penis. And
it's got some big penises.
They're like really big penises.
Can I ask you, just on that note, you're not a size queen, are you?
I'm not a size queen. Yeah, I'm not a size queen. Like, but I've seen a micro penis.
No.
No, I've seen a micro penis.
Have you had to touch
no,
it?
No, I've seen a micro penis.
Have you had to touch it?
Yeah. I didn't have to.
Did I say like, it? Did you had to touch it, Paul?
I didn't have to
Girl,
touch
were
it.
Girl, you forced to touch that micro penis?
Did you just get your index finger and thumb together?
No, like, literally, like, so I was, like, 21.
Oh.
I had seen other penises in my life, which is how I knew how to identify it as a micro penis. Yeah. But I hadn't seen that many penises in my life. Yeah. So I was still like kind of like, whoa. And like my second boyfriend ever still categorically had one of the biggest dicks I've ever seen in my life. And
did he know how to use it?
We didn't actually have sex. Like we were 18. Like I was his first kiss. Like he had this like gigantic dick. I know, it's crazy. So I went out with a guy and like then we like it was my last night ever in LA. And I like before I went back to college and like I had a crush on this guy. He asked me out. We went out. We went back to my place. We're like fooling around. And like then, you know, there's like that point where it's like, OK, like our pants coming off. OK, pants are coming off. Oh, my God. And like. I would say fully erect. It was 3 inches. There's just like all the air just got sucked out of the room.
Wait,
fully
so
erect.
First of all, so did
it was
you
3 inches.
Did you make an effort or were you just like, did you roll over?
I was so young and like this guy was like older and like he had a cool job and like I had a crush on him and like this is a guy that like I couldn't believe I was going out with him. Like yeah. He was a guy that like we had seen each other out randomly in public and then he found me on MySpace and like asked me out and it was actually
and that
like,
was truly the ro-
that was
the,
truly romantic.
That was romantic then.
Like dude, he found me on MySpace. Like also like I don't think finding people online was as easy back then.
Oh
as
God,
it is
no! You had
now.
To put effort in.
Yeah, you had to do some stuff. So he found me on MySpace, and so I was like so excited to go out with him. And like,
was he a good kisser?
He was. Yeah, I mean, like he was okay. But like, I'm sure that when you're a like, I remember him being like overly enthusiastic to go down on me, and now I know that's why.
Yeah, because he wanted to make sure, which I think, well, clearly
that's great.
Knew. Well, you know, that's why I've told you
you should come in.
That's why I lead with a dick pic because I'm like, I got the titties, but maybe if I send the dick pic first, that'll like soften the blow.
What do you mean? Like your dick isn't gigantic?
No, my dick is nice. Which I'm saying is, okay. But you know, I'm kind of heavy,
oh,
so
you don't
I got
like
I got
titties.
The titties, so
yeah.
I'm like, you know,
if
you're gonna enjoy
dick,
this, just maybe. This the tits might not be your thing.
I
but
thought you
will
said
enjoy.
There's guys that love the gay titties.
Some of them do.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm always, you know, I mean, the bear, you know, the Asians love the bears.
They do.
They love the bears.
They do.
And I mean, you never really, you know, the thing is, you don't know what I always say. I like to fuck Joseph's coat of many colors. I like all ages, races. I love it all. I'm like, life is too short. Bring it all. But you know, you're never like, you're like, you do though. You don't want to be this way, but when someone really, really hot is kind of into you and you're like, what? And you know, if you have any body insecurities and someone who is picture perfect, Instagram, truly hot, it's like, I would love to suck your dick. You're like, whoa.
Yeah.
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 You know what I mean? You kind of don't believe it.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, am I punked?
Yeah.
And I told you, you know, the one thing is, and this is, I don't, you know, like I've had those guys who like want to feed me, who just want to like watch me get fatter.
Yeah.
Have we talked about that?
Oh, feeders?
You know, like feeders?
Yeah.
I'm not really into that. I'm like, I enjoy being fat on my own, but like not sexual. Like sexually doesn't do anything for you to be like.
You don't want
to
be fetishized.
No.
Like you're
like. I mean, but I enjoy people's, I shouldn't be that way because I enjoy, you know, the ideas of fetishizing other guys.
Yeah. You're like, I love that like bear. I love that like whatever.
I love that Southern Belle, that whatever, you know, like that muscle job. Yeah.
Yeah.
All that nonsense. But I don't want to be. So, I mean, you know, I shouldn't be that way, but. You know, we are.
Well, also, like, it could affect your health. Like, if someone's just trying to keep you parked at home and feed you to death, like,
then
that's
you know
trying to kill you.
Honey, now that, you know, then they'll pull out some diaper shit.
Oh,
and
no.
And then I'm not here for that. And I'm
No. Wait, have you ever hooked up with a guy who's wanted to do like fecal stuff?
No. But do you remember, wasn't old Pootie Tank into that? Remember our drag?
Quentin?
Our best friend from Valentine's Day.
Was he into that?
I thought he was.
Well, first of all, I didn't get that deep with him. Like, you somehow have a conversation that happens like at a dog whistle's pitch, like that I like don't even hear the sexual.
Do you remember
that
hot stripper at a straight stripper at a gay bar that was in love with you?
Yeah, he was in love with me, and I just kept.
He was like, I can move to LA at a moment's notice,
and I was like, and he had like this gigantic dick and sheer baseball pants,
and he was hot.
And I just was like, stop. Like, you remind me of my brother. Like, stop. Like when I said to him, like, can I take a picture? He's like, I don't care what you do to me. And I was just like, that is, like, you should care what I do to you.
Yes.
Like, can you please care what I do to you and come back to me? Like, I can't hook up with someone that's just like, well, I've checked out of this life.
I don't give
so
a shit.
Touch run a train me. On me. Yeah. I just like, no. It's like, no, sweetheart. I want you to love yourself more than that.
Honey.
But girls don't love themselves more than that all the time.
It's kind of reassuring when men feel that way.
But when a straight man feels that way, I'm like almost like good, but like what broke you? Like when that's, but and
that
is
that when
sad.
We feel like when a guy's girlfriend beats up on him and we're like, good for her. You know what I mean? It's like,
kind of like where it's kind of just like, well, now you fucking know the experience. Like now you know what it's like to be fucking physically afraid for yourself. And it's not like you shouldn't want that. You should never want that sort of thing to happen to anyone. That's
of
like
course.
Saying that like a female pedophiles are less impactful or dangerous, but like it is at the same time, like, yo, it's interesting to see the gender roles flipped on that because like that is my day. Welcome to my day to day life. What? And like, you kind of want to be like, welcome to my day to day life, motherfucker.
Yeah. Well, but I've told you, you know, I've had guy friends, straight guy friends that have gotten very aggressive with girlfriends of mine. And I've taken them to gay bars and watched as some bigger guy, either in terms of just height or what muscles, whatnot, will kind of come onto them and get them up against the wall. And they're like, that was fucking creepy. And I'm like, yeah. So the next time there's someone who is physically can't get away from you, just remember how that feels, because it's very different. When that happens to you, you realize, you're like, oh, maybe that's someone. And I've had that where I've like not noticed how, you know, my size or whatnot can then overpower someone. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, that can make them uncomfortable. Like, you don't want to be that way. You need to make sure you're not.
You don't want to be that, and you don't want to be 3 inches erect. What else can I say?
Honey.
But can I ask you a real, okay, so I've been listening to this, like Gimlet has done a sponsored podcast with Tinder this year. Ooh. And it's actually like some pretty good stuff in there. But it's definitely a commercial for Tinder. Like at the end of it, but I don't mind that because I love Tinder and I think that it's a great medium. I think it's a great medium.
I don't, because the gay Tinder is just like any other app. It's just like, oh yeah, let's have a date. And then it's like, do you want to suck my dick or not?
Well, we're in, I think in the apps for different reasons. Like I genuinely am like, I'm like, I want to go on a date, but like, ideally, you wouldn't be a total troll and we could go on multiple dates and maybe it could be a relationship.
Well, yeah, but you know, my thing is not my thing. I just have never, I've dated guys from apps, but all the guys I've ever dated for more than a week, even just if it was a couple of months or whatnot, I've always met them out.
Yeah.
It's always been that way. It's always been.
I think that's the benefit of New York, though, is that like you're just on your, you're on foot.
You're on foot. All the time.
Okay. Well, let's take. Well, I was going to say just really quickly about that Tinder thing.
Oh, yeah.
Is that there was a quote this week from a writer that I already like, Mary H.K. Choi, and she came on to say that she dated a guy that was like objectively hotter than her. And she was saying, like, I'm like an 8, like, I prefer like a 6 that I can 8 on, which I think is such a good quote. And like, I'm the same way. Like, I would rather date a slightly less attractive dude and be like, I am your fucking queen right now.
See, I'm the total opposite. Whereas
you would rather
I'm surrounded by, I love to, I would much rather be the ugliest person in the room.
Yeah.
Like, I am fine with all
you
that.
Would?
No, I'm serious.
I don't like to be the best looking person in the room, but I certainly don't like to feel like I'm at an emotional, like,
you know, the one thing I'll tell you that is because I've known so many beautiful people who are truly so uncomfortable with themselves mentally, where I'm like, you know what? I may not be all good and great, but I do enjoy me.
Yeah.
There's some problems with me, but I like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I feel good enough with me to
no,
where
you're right.
I may not always feel comfortable with how I look or how I behave, but I'm like, at the end of the day, I do really like.
Beautiful people who hate themselves is so real.
No, it's so you're real. Right. And I know a lot of them. And my thing is though, but I like being around attractive people, and I don't don't, I'd rather everybody be much more, I really, and I look at the people I know, from the two beautiful women in front of me to the people are I'm friends with, to family, to people I date, all that stuff. I'm like, you're all collectively, you know, I don't want to say I don't go out, but I'm just gravitated towards that.
Yeah.
I like that energy. I like that aesthetic. And if I have to be, you know, the schlubby one in a corner, I'm like, I do not care.
No, I totally feel you on that. Okay, great. Well, I think that we've done enough for you, Caitlin. Let's take our next call.
Bye, Caitlin. Farewell.
Bye, Caitlin.
Hi, Mom. This is Gabby. I called a couple months ago talking about my boyfriend and how he wanted to marry me. And you were like, break up with him. And like an idiot, I waited till the summer, after the summer, and broke up with him in like late September. And for some reason, I'm still fucking dealing with this. He called me 13 times the other night. He's texting me incessantly, and I don't know how the fuck to get him away from me. This is like my first real breakup. I'm over it. I've been over it. He doesn't seem to get the hint. I'm like literally afraid he's going to show up at my house because he seems unstable. So if you have any advice on how to get him away from me, please let me know, because this isn't cute. And I don't like being afraid of my own house, even though probably nothing will happen. But like, I'm an anxious person, so I don't know. All right. Thanks. Love you. Bye.
Well, I think that like when you called, because we just listened to your first call again, I wasn't completely sure which one. I tell a lot of people to break up with their boyfriends, but I just listened to it again. And Max and I were like, yeah, I mean, like basically when you guys broke up, it was because like the relationship just needed to go. It was like a little bit past its prime.
And you needed to tear off the Band-Aid.
Yeah. And I think that that's like, first of all, like I just want to say I'm a little bit impressed with my instincts that I was able to tell that this man is way creepier. Like, I mean, the fact that like I just knew, I don't know. Look, girl. There's something called a temporary restraining order.
Do it.
And it's something that he should know that you are aware of. And like, I think that you should really say to him, like, you know, a restraining order is a big thing to put on someone, because once a restraining order is approved, that person like can't own a gun. Like, I think for like, they can't own or operate a gun for like 5 or 6 years. Like there are some restraints.
You know what I would say is to you, babe, is, if you, I mean, and this, and I know not everyone has this option, but enough people usually know someone in the legal profession to where have someone write a note saying, you know, my client so-and-so is feeling, you know, has, this is an option. And if this keeps continuing, that way you don't have to necessarily take that full step. If you don't, you know what I mean?
Or if you know anyone on the police. I mean, when I had an incident a few years ago where honestly, I just went into the police station and I said, here's this person's phone number. I just want you to call them and scare the shit out of them. And I sat there and a police officer called and was like, this is what you're setting yourself to be accused of.
Yeah.
This is what you're setting yourself up to face consequentially if you continue with this behavior. Because I just basically said, this person's not going to take me seriously. They need to understand that, one, I'm aware of my rights. Two, I'm aware of what I can do to them. And three, like, I'm going to take the extra precaution of going and having a police officer explain that to you.
Yeah.
And if you go and like, you know, I don't know where you live, but I assume that like, you know, I was very lucky because I was able to do it in Glendale, and Glendale has kind of like a more small town feel to it. It is a very small town with a very watchful police force. But if, you know, if assuming you're not in a bigger city, I think that that's something that pretty much any police force would be willing to do. A police officer would be willing to do. You might even know a police officer, like the same way you might know a lawyer.
But yeah, I think, but if it really persists, you cannot, if this guy has really hurt it, you know, I think too often I have girlfriends or female friends who are like, I don't want to hurt him. It's like, listen,
right.
If he's going to hurt you or is hurting you, that's on him. That's you shouldn't be made to feel like this is, you know, you took an unnecessary step. If this guy, if he can't get the hint and refuses to, then that's on him.
Right. You know? And when I, and just so you know, like, cause I agree with you, what you just said, I think that more often than not, women are more careful to do something that people have already, like, it's like, no, if this guy cared about you and your feelings, like, you wouldn't even be in this fucking position. So why don't you start caring about yourself as much as everyone else does in this situation, which is not much at all. Like, you have to care for yourself more than everyone else does. Like,
oh, definitely.
You know, like, he doesn't care if he keeps you up all night with 13 calls. He doesn't care if he makes you afraid of being in your house. Like, that is definitely where you need to, like, But I also am saying just in general with people, I think it is to be remembered that one, a judge probably won't grant you a restraining order if it's not due. But two, not to be super trigger happy with that sort of thing either.
Yeah, you
because
know what?
They are pretty
don't
big.
Be flip. Don't be flippant about it. But it, you shouldn't feel afraid. First of all, if he really is making you as afraid and it sounds like he's kind of. You know,
no,
behaving
I mean,
in excessive, excessive behavior, then you need to make sure he realizes that. And if that is not the hint, then you need to go through with the steps because you don't want him to. Yeah, just yeah. And don't second guess yourself.
I'm just really glad that you got out of this. And I also just want to let you know that like this is something that I think this is the type of thing that like. Definitely, I had other friends who dealt with stuff like this through their 20s with relationships where there's just was like. Like moments of like just absolute psychotic behavior that when you get into your 30s, like you don't really feel the stakes of every situation. It's just you're aware of how quickly you'll move past everything. I think more in your 30s, relationships are not so tumultuous but I think sometimes in your 20s, like people are just a little bit. It's like the hormones of a teenager with like trying to process the brain and life circumstances of an adult, like. That's what dating in your 20s feels like a lot of the time to me anyway.
Oh, definitely.
You know? So this won't go on forever. Maybe he's not a true psycho.
Maybe he's just having
really
a moment of psychotic episodes. But Gabby, put him in his place and just let him know that you will take the steps and be serious about it. And if he keeps it on, then take the steps.
Look out for you, girl.
Honey, you have to.
Okay. Well, let's take our next call.
Hey, Malls. Hey, Christina. Hey, guest. My name is Billy. I'm 27. I live in Fort Lauderdale. And my dilemma is, I guess in a nutshell, should I give an alleged schizo an iPhone? To elaborate, Amanda Bynes's alleged secret Twitter account that I've been following off and on for a few years has posted asking for an iPhone. And I decided since I have an old iPhone 5 I haven't really used in a while that I'll message her and see if she was still interested in getting one. She responded to me and pretty much was like, you can send the phone to my, quote, assistant in Rochester, New York, which really just sounds like a sham to me. However, I know like there were some ties to Rochester when she went crazy before, but it just sounds really sketch. And I mean, obviously, if she doesn't have access to her money, like there's clearly like some stuff still wrong with her. But I am not gonna lie, like it's Amanda Bynes, and there is a part of me that wants to send it, but I'm really concerned that I am kind of enabling, you know, a schizo who isn't well. And at the end of the day, I don't know if I can sleep well at night doing this. So, yeah, please advise. Love the pod. Love you all. And thank you very much.
Okay, so a little bit of backstory on this. And Christina, this was a stroke of genius to give this call to Max, is that I actually answered this one off air with Billy because when he Snapchatted me about it, I was so like, I think he first tweeted at me about it or something. And I was so like, fuck yes, I'm locked in because I've been following this like alleged Amanda Bynes new Twitter account for a while.
Do you think it's her?
I do. 100%.
Have you ever met her?
No, actually, I think she's like one of those people I don't think I've ever met her.
Okay.
Which is weird because like, anyone of that era, like I've at least seen them out once. You know what I mean? You just see people out. Paris Hilton is also someone that I've only seen like once. And I was I'm like shocked that I've been in LA for 10 years and I've only seen Paris once.
One time.
Yeah. So the thing is that I wanted this call to be aired for two reasons. But one, I want to just say, first of all, I want to wash my hands of any use of the term schizo just because I personally don't know what the right terminology is. And I know that is short for something that is real, but I don't know if it's offensive
to
people.
Let's not diagnose anyone that we don't.
Exactly. Perfect. But we do know that Amanda Bynes has struggled with mental illness. She would not be under a conservatorship if not.
She's still under it?
She's still under a conservatorship in a big way, by the way. So like, from what I understand from what this Twitter account has tweeted, she is limited to $50 or like $150 a day, I think is her allowance. And she gets that in Starbucks and I think like a prepaid Visa gift card.
Does she still, that's a lot of money. If that adds up.
That's what I'm saying. So like, this is what I said to Billy. I said, like, I understand the appeal of like wanting to help out someone that you are like, wow, that's like, chic to like give Amanda Bynes an iPhone. Like, that's like, I'm giving one of my childhood
don't fall for it, Billy.
But I said to him, I said, sweetheart, I said, Amanda Bynes does not need help from you.
No.
I said, like, I don't know if you are a man of many, many means, like if you're a very wealthy, wealthy man, but I would assume if you were a very wealthy, wealthy man, like you would just buy her an iPhone and not send her a used iPhone 5. Like, I'm going to go ahead and guess that most likely you will benefit more greatly from selling this phone yourself or trading it in.
Yeah, and giving a little bit of the money to someone in Fort Lauderdale who could use it.
Absolutely. Or just keeping it for your fucking self. Like, you know what I mean?
Because end times.
And also because, like, are any of us that rich that we need to, like, donate to a celebrity as if, like, whose show has just been resyndicated on Nick at Night or whatever? Like, she does not need your help.
We forget.
She does not need you.
What was that one she was on with the one
What I Like About You.
You know that's on syndication somewhere.
She does not need you. No celebrity needs you. And this is like another thing too. Don't help out people who are doing better than you in life.
No.
Like, granted, if she is mentally ill, one could argue she's not doing better than Billy. But like at the same time, like I feel like most, and this is like, you know, I think most celebrities, especially on her level, do not need your help. They don't need your help. And if they're asking for your help, it's because someone in their life isn't helping them. And there's a reason for that.
Exactly.
And I just like feel like it makes me sensitive because I'm so like, you know, yes, like I work in this business and I know you work with celebrities all the time, but like, because you work with celebrities, you also know they live very charmed lives. Yeah, even their worst lives are
pretty charmed.
Much more charmed than your average person. More charmed than mine. More charmed than anything else.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
They live a nice little life for themselves. Yeah. They never have to worry about getting their $5 Starbucks or their whatever. I mean, the fact that she has like $25 to spend at Starbucks every day.
I think $150 a day is pretty damn good.
Like, it's pretty fucking good. Like, and also it's like, what are you spending this money on? Like, where's the money going to begin with?
If you had five or six Starbucks.
And she has like an Amazon wish list and people are buying her shit off her Amazon wish list.
You know, I love porn stars who do that.
You know what? I like a porn star who does it too.
I
do.
Even better, a Tumblr porn star.
I like that.
Which I have a Tumblr account I need to show you, and I want you to tell me if you think he's totally punking the world. It's like LA Bijock, where he basically says he's a UCLA like swimmer, like rugby.
Yeah. He is not a Bijock. Like that is totally a straight boy who knows what's up and is like, I will get these horned up gay men.
What about if he's 60 and like a woman?
Oh, that could be true.
Because I don't know. Well, I want to show you you need to read, and he's really into erotica, which I'm all about, but I just need you to see.
Erotica, like books?
No, like he'll talk about his situation. He's like, yeah, I met this other closeted gay. I met this other.
He like really drags it out and gives
a
narrative.
Yeah, he's like this other Phi Kappa Sig frat boy.
Oh, and we like had to wrestle.
Or he's like, my fiance and I, or my girlfriend and I fucked her brother on a vacation in Hawaii.
Oh, he's trolling the shit out of you.
Yes.
Out of everyone.
Out of
everyone.
My God. So we'll just, that's aside, sorry, but.
Is there anything, if you're going to be like a fake something, is there anything smarter than a young bi jock?
No.
Like, that is a genius marketing move.
Because there's tons of photos.
You get the ladies. You got
the
gays. Yeah.
You get them all.
You get them all. And you're young, hard. You're
young,
a young hard
body.
Man. Yeah. It's like you're living a great life.
You live almost a charmed life as the celebrities that you do not need to be donating to, Billy.
Okay. But like, let's just talk about this though, because like you do wind up in these precarious situations where all of a sudden it's like, because there's nothing, also at the same time, there's nothing sadder than celebrity. And I think average person kind of looks at it and is like, dude, that is like so fucking sad that Amanda Bynes can't have an iPhone. Like, and you know what? You're right, it is, but not at your own expense. Like, you need to take care of yourself. Like, and I hate to say it, like, Amanda Bynes is where she is because of a series of events, whether it be strictly mental illness or mental illness fueled by drugs or stuff that happened in her childhood or who knows what. There could be a variety of reasons why Amanda Bynes is where she is today. There's a variety of reasons why you are where you are today. And I agree. That's probably like it is. It's sad to look at someone and be like, wow, that's a person that was like once on top, now on the total decline. Like, that's hard to watch. Doesn't need to be at your expense, though. Like, unless, Billy, you are actively donating to, like, orphans on television, you do not need to donate to Amanda Bynes.
Can we, in remembrance of Carrie Fisher, say one of her best quotes, which was, fame is just obscurity biding its time. Which, first of all, RIP Carrie Fisher, and thank you for everything, Debbie Reynolds. But it's really true. Don't you think it's like every celebrity?
I'm wrapping my brain around that one.
Yeah.
Obscurity buying time.
Wait, does that make sense? It was on an Oprah interview that
it makes sense. It's so true. Yeah. Because
you look at say Carrie Fisher, who from about 16 or when was she, maybe 19, I think, when she was in Star Wars, you know, throughout the 80s was at the epitome of fame. And then no one wanted to put her in movies anymore. Or look at Debbie Reynolds, who from Singing in the Rain in 52 when she was 19 to the late 60s was a huge movie star. And then all of a sudden she turns 40. Everyone's like, no, we don't want to put you in movies anymore.
Yeah.
I think you have to think about that. It's like even that level, those people who like a Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher, those are entertainers.
Yeah.
They found other ways to have creative outlets. You know, Carrie Fisher became a great writer. Debbie Reynolds did stage and eventually had a movie comeback and all that great stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and Amanda Bynes, it's like, she doesn't even want to act. She doesn't want to entertain anymore.
She's retired.
She's retired. She wants to do her fashion. And it's like, honey, do your fashion and find a way to buy your own iPhone.
Yeah. Yeah. And it sucks because like, you know, there is that element of it where it's like, I understand that part of, I watched a whole, thing the other night called I'm Not Crazy, and we'll link to it on the Please Advise thing. And it was like a documentary that was pieced together with news footage of Amanda Bynes kind of going over the history of her career and like how she started out like, you know, the anti-Lohan, and like that was basically like her main talking point.
Lohan started out as the anti-Lohan.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's like all of her talking points in interviews are like, what's the difference between you, Amanda Bynes, and Lindsay Lohan? And she's like, well, I'm just like really normal and down earth.
I'm my own person.
Yeah. And like,
I have a good family life.
And like, that's like all, you know, well and good. I totally forgot what I was going to say.
But as a side.
Oh, I was going to say that, like, I understand her frustration when, like, a few years ago she was saying, like, I'm a fucking multimillionaire and I'm living like a poor person, like in a West Hollywood apartment with like six other people because my parents have cut me off from accessing my money. And like, granted, like, yes, like that is her parents had to do that because was displaying a lot of mental illness. But like, yo, like, she could have. Why are you both on your phones?
No, I'm listening. I just
am I doing this podcast with anyone?
Is there anyone? Are you guys
Billy?
Are you here? No, I totally agree with you. And I just think, wait, was she really in an apartment with six people by herself?
Yeah, she was like living in WeHo. That's like when those tapes were released where she was like telling her friend, like, you are so gay, it makes me want to kill myself.
Is that where she threw the bong out the window?
That was in New York.
Oh.
And then after that, she came back to LA and she was living in WeHo, and like, she was living with some kids and one of them taped her. And do you remember, like, they taped her in the car because she was having like a manic episode, and they were basically, I think they, you know, they partially did it to release it and like basically say,
make
like, this is how sick, but like also,
like, let's get her some help.
If I had a friend who was in a car, if I was in a vehicle with someone who was talking like that, where she was saying like, I literally want to like take a knife and stab it through my father's eyes. And like, people don't understand, my brain is being raped and I feel so sorry for how gay you are. And like, it was just like a rambling.
It was a river of insanity.
Insanity.
And she probably needed it. And that's the thing. It's like with Britney Spears, or when it go, or Kanye West even, or, you know, I think it all boils down to, in this country, how little we truly care about mental illness.
Yeah.
And how it's still such a hush hush subject.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the population in some way, shape, or form, as they have probably for centuries, struggled with mental illness.
Yeah.
And I think it's just still such a taboo subject. And
do you know if bipolar 2 can morph into bipolar 1?
So I hate to show my ignorance, I don't really get the difference between 1 and 2.
So basically, bipolar, from my understanding, bipolar 2 was a little bit more nuanced. Like,
okay,
your manic episodes, you're not like taking your clothes off in the street and screaming. Okay. Like, you're not like doing these big grandiose
it's things. More little, it's more like the top of this, like
the micro
pot.
Stuff.
It's like the pot on the kettle, like kind of showing.
Exactly. Okay. And like you have peaks, like you have
cereal
you
mom.
Have like highs where you don't need much sleep and you don't like, you know, you're very motivated and inspired and on top of the world and like just like have like frenetic energy. And then there's the other end of it, which is like depression.
Yeah.
Which is like you just go into like a deep dark hole and you stay there and like and it can alternate like, you know, moment to moment. It can be a little moment to moment, but bipolar one is more the one that you see the extreme highs and the extreme lows.
Gotcha.
And so, you know, I've often felt for years that Kanye is probably someone who has bipolar just based on his tweets alone. Like the tweets where he's really like speaking on like his heart, like those are classic manic tweets. But I also didn't know if that was something that he was like kind of conjuring together, like to like give himself a little, like cobbling together this mental illness, like this appearance of a mental illness. So like it's because, you know, mental illness, unfortunately, like in our business, mental illness can oftentimes equate to genius or greatness.
Yeah.
And like, sells. And so people, yeah.
And a pass.
Mm-hmm. And it's a pass.
And it's pass. And I think that's what a lot of people struggle
with. Well, it's a pass if you're lucky because it haunts you forever because no one's ever going to be like, oh my God, this very mentally ill person is like ready to work again.
Sean Young.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really.
Like your like, life is derailed by it. But like people are like, she's sick.
Yeah, she's sick. Well, I will say that, I mean, do you think Lohan suffered from any of that? Or do you think?
I think Lohan has classic addiction.
Yeah.
And probably like, I think she probably has a little bit of a mood disorder. Like, I think that would go really hand in hand.
Have you ever met her?
Yes.
Really?
Actually, the only paparazzi photo I've ever been in is I'm sitting next to Lindsay Lohan at a barbecue.
That's fantastic.
And by the way, she and I did not communicate. She did not look at me. It just looks
like
I'm saddled up to Lohan at a barbecue.
Do you know one of my favorite stories is I was visiting a buddy in Baton Rouge and he was down in school there and she was filming Herbie Fully Loaded and mm-hmm. I never really talked to her, but she was out at the bars just like doing shots and in between the takes of her.
God, to be around when that Herbie Fully Loaded was happening. I
really?
Mean, those
wait,
the
do
days.
You remember? I just, it was it's
just so, the news every day would be
really,
the new
2013,
news.
2013, mm-hmm. A Freaky Friday, the fall, till about 2008, every day.
Yeah.
Every day was Just My Luck, Bobby, all of her, Georgia Rule,
yeah.
With Felicity Huffman and Jane.
Prairie Home Companion. But like, let's not forget really, Prairie Home Companion. I know, I just gave myself chills. But like, do you remember that like with Lohan though, it really did start around Herbie and that's when like the 24 hour online news cycle started to happen.
She had the exhaustion.
She had exhaustion and this was the first taste we got of like every day. We are going to wake up and there is going to be new news about Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan. Whatever they did last night is going to be on the news tomorrow.
Do you remember with Lindsay Lohan when it was the song that, and I wait for the postman to bring me a letter.
What was that song?
Confession. Wasn't it Confessions of a Broken Heart?
Oh, yeah.
And she's in the cocktail ball gown, throwing herself against a bathroom.
God, that was really good. And I remember I remember the making the movie or the making the video of it or whatever. And Dina's off watching the monitor. And she's just going like, she is just.
And
like,
did you remember when Dina kept telling everyone she was a Rockette?
Yeah.
They're like, the Rockettes are like, you've never worked here.
Okay, so I just rewatched Living Lohan.
Where's
Aliana?
Where's Aliana?
Aliana's a model. She like literally is like working as a fashion model.
So she's let go of the music.
She does runway. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I would assume so. But like she was doing straight up like runway as of like two years ago.
They make money, don't they?
I mean, I don't know that she needs it. I mean, she must actually. She must need
Listen,
it.
Listen, well, do you remember that interview? Not to jump back to Lohan, but do you remember that interview she gave a couple months ago where she's opening a Grease nightclub?
Yeah.
And she jumped from about, she was basically 32 different acts. She was our Meryl Streep. She was Meryl Streep. Yeah, I think the next club. To enhance.
To enhance.
And people have a good time.
But also,
we dance in Greece.
Do good cause. Like, it's like, and also she was doing this thing where it's like, she was doing like foreign hand gestures.
And do you remember her press agent behind her was like, "What? Where's this accent coming from?"
Oh, I didn't.
You need
see
to.
That.
We need to rewatch it
just for the press.
Ignore
agents.
Lohan and watch the two press agents behind her because they're both just like, "Wait, where's she? What's happening?"
I can only imagine that that's like sort of the mortification you would have if you have like a client that just like broke out into like a quote unquote black scent in the middle of their thing. You just be like, how are we going to cover for this? Wait, like, how are we going to cover
for
this?
Which publicist should we pray for the most this year?
Oh, that's a good question. Who's publicist?
Because I mean, I know everyone hates them, but they really go through a lot. It's no walk in the park.
You know who's kept her nose pretty clean?
Who?
Well, Emma Roberts has never really gotten any major tea thrown on her.
No, except when she beat up her boyfriend, which again, I was like, good for you.
I totally forgot that she beat up her boyfriend.
She got arrested for like domestic assault.
Which I support.
Damn.
Which we support. Sorry, Emma, we do.
But, okay, so I mean,
I have a healthy fear of her.
You do.
She weighs
yeah.
about 110.
Yeah.
But she can cut you with her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't really know her, but after like 20 times interacting with her,
I'm ashamed if she said something mean to me. Like, I would, my default emotion would be like, I'm ashamed. Sorry, Emma Roberts.
But I'm really afraid.
You
She's
win.
Scary.
Yeah.
She's very scary because I think she gets, first of all, if she was super nice, she's been nothing truly but really pleasant every time I've met her, but
totally.
She's got that edge about her where if she didn't have that edge, if she wasn't that character in Coven and Scream Queens,
sure.
we wouldn't like her. We'd be like, oh, well, you're no fun.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like when you realize like, oh, I could be interacting with like actual Chanel Oberlin, like that doesn't come from nowhere.
Well, you know, my favorite thing was we were at Comic-Con and I had my satchel that is from Defend Your Life or some nonsense down in New Orleans. And basically on the bag, it just says, slow down, loosen up. And she just walks up to me and goes, slow down, loosen up, my life motto, and walked away.
That's haunting. That's haunting. Oh, my God.
I'm clutching a table ornament.
Max is gripping my crystals.
Like
Max has
glasses.
All of my crystals surrounding him. He just knocked over a Solo cup. I mean, I think that we've just derailed Max. I mean, he's nervous thinking about it.
Because, again, I'm a 6 foot, 270-pound gay man on a good day. And Emma Roberts is petite and beautiful, maybe 5'2".
It is hilarious to see how, like, just flustered you got just
so nervous.
Thinking of her. Just thinking about her. You're like, oh, my God, no.
I'm so scared. Well, because it's so funny because they're those people you want to like you even if you know that they'll never... you know what I mean? Like, you're so not on their radar, but you want them to be like, oh.
What about Taylor Swift?
Please, I would never be afraid of her.
But I'm saying, do you have to pray for her, publicist?
I don't play... No, God, no. Because I think she's, again, that kind of crazy that is... I think her crazy is kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think she's
like it's super smart crazy. Like, it's like hyper smart crazy.
Yes.
And because also, it's like so calculated.
And I mean, her whole empire is very calculated and brilliant. I think she's brilliant. I really do.
I do too.
And I think she has a great team. She's another one that it's all about the team.
But people who hate her, like, or think she's mean,
hate
like,
her.
They're like, no, you don't understand.
Do you think
shit.
She's a lesbian? Like they all say.
I bet she's dabbled in the bi.
Well,
I mean, it could make sense actually, because like, I mean, why does she date all the, like, why did she like beard throughout all of her 20s or her like teen years? Like she bearded. So she,
I know. And what is she 24 now? 25 maybe?
Maybe she's older. I don't know. Yeah. 24, 25. But
I
like,
can't wait for the day when we find out she's literally 70. She's like a Finnish 70 year old.
Oh, by the way, I had something like basically confirmed to me yesterday. I'm going to tell you after. You guys, I'm going to give you one more tip and then we're going to sign off. I tried a new product last week that I'm obsessed with. It's called Baby Feet. Have you heard of this shit?
No.
Okay, so basically like they're like acid and herbs and like whatever inside of a jelly sock. Like they're socks, right? And they're plastic socks, but filled with this jelly. And you like put them on. I put my Ugg boots on over the socks so that I had them on for like 2 hours.
Mm-mm.
You're only supposed to do an hour. Then you like soak your feet in hot water a couple days later. And I'm not kidding you. The thickest part of like your skin on your heel comes off. Like
I need that to happen.
I have never seen so much dead skin come off my body in my life.
Like, isn't that, it's both petrifying and relief. And you feel relief.
I was like, I was grossed out, but I was also like, this is remarkable. Like, this is a problem that, like, you know, you could spend all day having someone, like, shave down your heel at the thing.
Would you ever let a minnow? Is it minnows?
I want to do that.
I would.
I totally want to let fish eat my
feet. Can we try that?
Yeah.
We can do that. I don't know. We can do that here in town, though, can't we?
Probably. Well, you're around all week, right?
I'm here for 2.5
weeks.
Wait,
are you going to be here on the 11th?
2.5 weeks. What day is that? Thursday?
Yeah. I think that's the night I'm having my birthday party.
Yes.
Yeah.
Honey,
for
I'm
once.
Here.
Okay,
honey,
perfect. Finally. Max and I need to go get a steak.
At Damien's?
Sure, Damien's. And we're going to go to Damien's and get a steak. And then we are going to come back here and just sass it up, I guess.
Well, we're
going to
watch Bright Lights again. Tribute to Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds.
Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to fall asleep halfway through.
Oh, you'll be asleep. Yes. Good night.
Just don't let Wags bite you on the way out.
No, Wags hates me.
You're allowed to stay here, by
sometimes
the way. He does not hate you.
Sometimes he loves me. Sometimes Wags and I have moments.
Yeah.
I think he just is threatened by anyone that you might show any form of affection to that's not him.
I think he just, yeah.
He likes Ed, doesn't he?
Yeah, Wags likes women and gay men.
Okay.
He does not really care for street. He is like, I don't know what you want with my mom,
does
but
he
I can
like
tell
that?
It's
penetrative. Does he like Ryan Bailey?
He does like Ryan Bailey.
Don't you love that I constantly get drunk and threaten to send Ryan Bailey dick pics?
Oh, you do?
All the time.
Tell me everything.
First of all, he's the sweetest guy ever. And I'm constantly...
Why did you guys even exchange phone numbers? Like, when
no,
did
no,
that
it's
up?
Snapchat. It's oh, all you Snapchat. Do? Oh.
Wait,
so
see,
I'll get real drunk and I'll just be like, Ryan Bailey, I'm gonna send you a dick pic. And he's like, ah, I wish you wouldn't, but okay. So I've yet to do it, but one day.
I think his childhood best friend is gay. So,
so
he's
definitely
very
been assaulted
he's
constantly.
Probably, but he
which
definitely,
again we support straight men, especially straight white men that get that kind of assaulted.
But poor Ryan. No, Ryan's been married for literally like 15 years or something. Like he's like this, he's not like such a straight white guy. Like he's so not
well,
like
also,
that.
Also, he's a believer in the people. Wait, anyway, love you to Gabby and Billy and
Caitlin. With the bubble porn.
The bubble porn. We want you to all enjoy these final years on Earth and just really have
get
a
it consumed. You know what? If you're Mormon and you're out there listening, feel free to look at them some without
look
the
at
bubbles.
All,
who
no,
cares?
Just take the bubbles off.
Take the bubbles off.
And Sharon Stone, if you're listening,
just an Asian girl in a bathing suit.
Just let
she
her,
doesn't mind.
She doesn't care.
No, she doesn't mind. She posed.
She wants you
if
to
she's
look.
She's smiling in the picture. She posed.
And
okay.
She got paid handsomely for it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. What do you think you get? Like a fucking free lunch?
A free when lunch you... and at least $45 in some kind of like arcade money.
I'm going to research that tonight too, is like what these Asian girls get paid, because there is such a surplus of like Asian girls in bikinis, and I know they are not. I mean, like American amateur porn girls, like, and you think in America we come in with much more of a sense of entitlement. American amateur porn girls will like suck a 50-year-old man's dick for $200.
Oh, 200? Come on.
No, seriously, did you see that Hot Girls Wanted thing that was made by what's her face? Rashida Jones, did you see that?
Oh no.
I like got super sensitive about it because I have my sister's 19 and like she texted me, was like, I want to be a model. Like, how do I be a model?
No.
And I was just like, every fiber of my body, like every hair on my body stood on its end. And I was like, I know someone who does like promotional bar modeling. I was like, I just want to warn you, like no modeling jobs are ever listed online. Like no. You, anything that you can see as a normal member of the public is not a real thing. I was like, if anyone ever said, I was like, you never, a modeling agent will never ask you for a nude photo. No. A model, you know, like I just like started to go down the list of it because these girls get on a plane because they see an ad on Craigslist that just says Hot Girls Wanted. And then they get on there and they wind up in this cycle of basically making like amateur porn for 3 months, but like after 3 months, you're used up.
Yeah,
like they don't want you anymore.
No, you're not fresh anymore.
So then you have to go home knowing that there's like, ten videos of you like sucking dicks.
Have you ever, you know, what's so bizarre to me is I've really never known anyone who's done porn. I've never seen, you know, do you know anyone who has?
You know what's so interesting? So like, I guess I knew someone, I know people who have done Playboy, which is not porn,
no.
But I know, it turns out that a girl that I knew for a really long time was an open fetish model. I didn't know she was open about it. So like when I discovered it, it seemed like, oh, like scandal. Like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
But no, I've never known anyone. I've been on a porn set. So I've met porn stars.
Gay or straight?
Asian chicks 9. So I don't know how you want to throw that. Like maybe, I mean, it was a gay scene. I don't know that these women are.
But they are. None of them are really. But just like how most. I mean, there's so many gay performers who aren't gay.
So like the thing was like. So there was like the older Asian mom. And like she's like the mommy.
Does she lead them into how to like eat the.
So she has like a sheet of like just like black hair that like just goes down to like her ass, and like she's wearing like a robe, and the robe is open and under.
Is it a floral kind of print?
It's a floral kind of print, and of then course. Underneath she's wearing like just like bondage underwear with Ooh. Like the except the boob part is open, so it's like it's the structure just- of a bra. Except the boobs are completely out, right? So then these two girls come down the stairs. One is in baby pink and one is in baby blue. And they're wearing like these like kind of like 90s that their tits are falling out of. Mm. And like they're also covered. Oh, no. Actually, in this scene, they were just wearing like baby blue panties with ruffles and baby pink panties with ruffles. And one had the pink one had pink beads that like went all around her, almost like Kim Kardashian posing in all the pearls for Playboy. And then the blue one had the blue beads. And then they came down, they crawled down the stairs on their hands and knees. And like, by the way, one of them in her on her hands and knees before this shoot started, she saw me standing there and she goes, "Hi!" And she like she waves at me.
Wait, were you doing were you doing uncredited script work? What were you doing on this set?
I was working with a Gawker owned property called Fleshbot. And I because I worked for Gawker, like sometimes they would send me out with the other side. So they'd be like, "Jezebel needs something in LA this weekend.
Do it."
Right. So when I was working with Fleshbot, I actually was working with this really nice guy named Marty. Married guy, like super, straight. Like, yeah, super sweet. Like, would call his wife, like, right before he got in the car, like, right before we drove home. Like, had Aww. A little girl, like, was very, very nice. His wife, like, you know, I had to say, there's really nothing intimidating about, like, that world to me as a woman. I'm like, no guy, like, wants that.
Yeah.
Like, no guy wants, once you go to a porn set, you're like, oh, I don't like, I've seen how the sausage is made. Like, I'll look at it, but I'm not like I'm not deluded also, about what this world is.
Well, no, because I think you have to have a healthy way of fantasy and reality mm-hmm. and thinking of, you know, you shouldn't expect what you watch and enjoy that's clearly a fantasy to be. That's where I think people run into problems where they want their sex lives to be the fantasy where it's like, there's nothing wrong with enjoying a little fantasy and being like, oh yeah, that's really sexy. But then saying like, yeah, I want to face fuck you until I nut, you know, on all over you. And she's like, no, honey, I don't want
that. I mean,
that.
That's the thing. It's like, I think that it becomes also too, like you want to be like sex positive and you want to appease your partner's needs or whatever else. But like, I've been with guys before where it's really, really clear to me that the only thing that dictates their fantasy is porn.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, and now you can't get off unless I'm wearing pigtails. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean?
Or
and it's
like, you have to come on me. You have to see, you know what I mean?
It's like you all have that, to.
You have and to or like, you can. And it's like,
yeah. And it's like, no, with some of these guys, I really think they can't. Like, it's like, this is the only thing that gets me off. Like the way my brain works is that like you're wearing pigtails and then I come.
But
like,
you know what you have to do with that is, and I've had to do this too because I think all men suffer gay or I think you can get, you know, if especially if you're having sex and then also masturbating, which almost all men, let's call us do.
Yeah.
It's like you have to cut back on the fantasy.
Absolutely.
You can't just be having sex and then like, whoa, Tumblr porn, LA by jock 22.
Yeah, LA Bijock.
I can't wait to show you this profile.
I can't wait.
It's such a mess.
LA Bijock is like kind of.
We need to have him on the show.
Yeah, I will actually. I should probably reach out to LA.
Can you imagine? Be like, we really want to have you on
the show.
I'll
be like, we'll disguise your voice. Yeah. Like, you're like, it's a current affair and you're the person who's speaking out about some like.
I just want to see if it's really LA Bijock 22.
I love him. LA Bijock 22.
It's all happening.
Okay. Well, let's skedaddle and go get some steaks and fucking martinis and whatever else. I want a shrimp cocktail too. I'm like getting my
honey,
own. So
yes.
Don't ask me to split the shrimp cocktail because I'm eating the whole
end
fucking
times,
thing.
Because end times, honey, have your own shrimp cocktail.
I'm like looking at, I'm literally snarling at you. I'm like, do not ask me to compromise
do
my
think
shrimp.
I would never. And I want a drink with an umbrella in it.
Oh, you can have that.
Okay, fabulous.
All right, I love you.
Love you guys.
Thanks for
Thank
being
you so
here.
Much
Max,
for having
wait.
Me.
I almost didn't tell people. Where what? Can they find you online?
Oh, would you please come and watch my little Instagram videos, Max Wyeth, just MaxWyeth. They're
you have to.
Skits.
They're so funny.
It's all I have.
And also,
please.
Honey, Yes, Honey, No.
Oh, honey, yes. Mm-hmm. And Honey, Yes, Honey, No, which is just, you know, it's basically a one-man show right now because the prince, my roommate and best friend, has abandoned it. But please, Honey, Yes, Honey, No, live a Honey, Yes life.
Yes. So please. Honey, Yes, Honey, No is his other Instagram. We're basically like he just if it's honey, yes, or if it's honey, no. It's as simple as that.
Honey, there's so many of both. Yeah, but we try to be positive on honey, yes.
You are very positive on honey, yes, but you do some no's. And you had a very controversial no for me the other day. I forget what it was.
Which one was it?
It was like you honey no'd something, and I just was like, no, not honey, no. Honey, but I liked it anyway because I wanted to be supportive of you.
Me. I know. Malls,
you're the ultimate honey,
yes. We talked about this on Twitter, but the last thing I have to say is I just want to say RIP Vine, and the only thing I have to say about that is Molly and I met on Vine almost 4 years ago and then went on a double date, and I will always be thankful to that platform for that reason.
Absolutely.
And do you remember the Vine? It was a Virginia Madsen Vine I did.
Well, okay, so this is the thing. My mom said, like, how did you meet Max? And I was like, oh, this, like, Virginia Madsen Vine. She was like, what was it about? I was like, I don't remember anymore.
Vine was, it was when she was starring in the movie Hot Flashes, co-starring Cameron Mannheim and Brooke Shields.
Yes. And it was it just a clip of it?
No, she and I did like a little skit of something, and we were following each other. Great. And then literally 3 days later, we're on a double date in Venice, and it was just the love.
Best.
It was so wonderful. But
we haven't turned back since.
We haven't. I'm thankful for you, Molly. Christina, so thankful for you.
I'm thankful for you, Max.
And appreciate you all. And just let's live our best lives while we still can.
And hey, if you have a micro penis out there in LA somewhere, I just want to let you know.
But don't
come here. I want to thank you for the niceness and kindness you showed me when I was 21. Your name will always be safe with me, even in social situations when I'm not holding a microphone. I don't tell your name to people. So, you know, your micro penis is protected. And wishing you all the best in the future. All right. Bye, guys.